This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Just saw a bunch of you, right?
You did.
And I saw you.
I know you.
So I guess I'd like to say for all of us, congratulations on Spring Breakers.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. L.A.
L.A. Film Critics. Come on.
Thank you very much.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really...
Well-deserved.
Thank you. I'm really happy that movie is getting some recognition. I'm really proud of it.
When you have a project like this come along, how quickly is the conversation, let's work together again? Or is it just...
On this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to remind me, Seth, because I...
We had the idea for the movie a few years ago, and we honestly didn't know who would be Dave Skylark. And then, as it started...
You guys were talking about it on This Is the End, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't cast, but you guys were talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no one was. Yeah, we just kind of had this idea. And, yeah, we didn't know if it... We didn't know, honestly. And then once...
But there was no way you were talking about it on Pineapple, right?
No.
You sure?
Well, yeah. I don't think so.
There was some idea that... I thought it was like similar or something. I remember you guys.
Was there?
There was something.
I don't think it's that old. Right. That was because when we made that, that was like a really fucking long time ago. Hey, it's Evan. I think it was. It was after This Is the End, right? That we first talked to you about it. I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like.
Well, we did This Is the End, and then it came out a year later, and like by the time it was coming out, we were already talking.
Yeah, we were talking about this. I think like. Yeah, I think it was during This Is the End that we were like. And then we didn't basically, until the studio saw This at the End, we didn't know for sure if they'd let us direct another movie. So once they saw it, they decided they would let us direct another movie. And I think it was around then we had just made This at the End and had so much fun with James. And it seemed like if we were going to direct another movie that, again, we would like to do it with people that we're like close with and work well with. And I think kind of it all came together like around when we finished shooting This at the End and went back to L.A.
I also believe, this is sort of like the way that my character was originally written in This at the End.
Yeah, and it's kind of based on that a little bit. Yeah.
Suit wearing dude who is very much about his appearance. I guess that's how they saw me. So it was a chance to do that, and I also think they probably felt guilty about killing me in This Is the End.
It's true.
He thinks we made a terrible mistake.
He's never gotten over that. He literally brought it up 5 minutes ago.
You're wrong. There are not a few people on Instagram who have said, believe you're not in heaven.
Why isn't he in heaven?
You had to go.
Was this at all influenced by, the headlines... Dennis Rodman being buddies with...
It was actually written before that happened. This was actually written when Kim Jong-il was still alive, initially. The idea came from, like, reading articles about, like, you know, like, Mike Wallace interviewed, like, Osama bin Laden, and, like, you know, like, that, like, journalists are in a weird position to get closer to these kind of evil dictators than anyone else is. And it was also like kind of inspired by the idea that you do always hear like Saddam Hussein was a fan of like Western movies, and like you hear that these guys are fans of Western culture and pop culture specifically, and so we thought like an entertainment journalist might be like a funny way into that. But then the Dennis Rodman shit happened, and it really actually like made it much less far-fetched, which was great, honestly. Like at first, part of what we were worried about is like we wanted the movie to have kind of like a somewhat, you know, exist in like the real world. And our fear was like, would anyone buy this? Would actually even happen? And then when that happened, you're like, oh, that's way fucking dumber than what we came up with.
What day is harder for you? Like the day that you have to act in every single scene, produce, fit the lines, and direct all at the same time with all the actors on the set?
Yeah, that's sometimes. That's definitely harder. Like, yeah, that's harder than just directing. Yeah.
Which of those will become a one that you dream at night that is a little harder?
It's hard sometimes. We were talking about it. Like when I'm acting and something isn't going right, and I'm the director also, I get taken out of the scene sometimes. Like,
well, here's what I observe.
You can see it. I gloss over.
They're a great team. So when Seth's acting, you know, Evan is behind the monitor, and the way that they work, you know, and we've worked for I guess maybe 10 years now. I guess since 40-year-old Virgin is like, it's a lot of improvisation. So when Seth is acting, he's also kind of still acting as a writer, and it's sort of a way of directing the scene from within as acting. And then Evan can see, you know, how it looks, or, you know, he'll be back there with the writers and there'll be alternative lines. So it's sort of like, on a movie like this, the roles or the positions or the jobs kind of blend into each other. And yeah. So it's a little different, I think, directing and acting in a film like this than it would be on another movie.
Yeah.
But like Seth said, he is, you know, as the director, more conscious of
like the non-technical stuff.
Yeah, the non kind of creative or things. So when something isn't going right, you can see him just like pop out of character. He's like not in it.
Well, if I just notice like the camera's not moving at at the speed that it should, or like I literally will see it happening. Like if it's like a push in on us, I'll be like, it should be faster. I know it's not right.
It's a dumb face. He's just obviously not in the scene.
I do. I see it in dailies. I like literally notice it happening sometimes. Or if like one of the other actors isn't doing something I like, or like goes on a run that I know we won't use.
Say this.
Yeah, like,
okay, look at that.
Yeah, if I'm not the director, I'll go with it. I'll engage and I'll do any stupid riff.
Could you tell during This Is the End when he was doing that? Because now it's just the two of you. But then I couldn't tell as much.
It's
probably harder to conceal during this.
Did you crap?
It's the first time you've seen snow ever?
In that whole year. No, like,
oh, and yeah. I don't know. It's probably hot there, yeah.
Huh? Did you craft Dave Scarlock after anyone in particular?
I mean, it's inspired. We kind of say it's like Oprah meets Ryan Seacrest, kind of a little bit. Like, it's.
But, like, you know, amped up.
Amped up like fucking crazy. Like, the way that Franco ultimately acts in the movie is not based on anyone. It's like psychotic almost, like, in a wonderful way. But it's like far more heightened than anyone who I've ever, I mean, honestly, no. Sometimes you meet people, and I'm sure you guys do, and you're like, this person's fucking ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's funny, like, he kind of has the same jobs you guys have in the movie. Like, I mean, it just.
I mean, I don't know any of them, but I imagine, you know, like, the way this guy is so obsessed with any kind of celebrity gossip.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine the office is at TMZ or something where it's just like, oh my God, we just got somebody, you know.
It's true. It definitely has like a DMZ-ish,
and that's like the
Harvey Levin-ish
like,
vibe as well, where it's like every.
We just got the panty-less shot of so-and-so coming out of the car. Oh my God! Oh my God, this is huge. Like, you can imagine them like celebrating that.
Yeah. Like a barometer, do you know when you've gone too far? And it's like, or they just.
Sometimes.
The two dick thing there that you just said. Is that just improv just then, or did it wasn't in your notes?
No, not at
all. And that's not close to too far.
Yeah.
Too far is much further than that.
But on set, there's no too far. And then when we screen the movie, we show it to the audience, and if they stop laughing, then it's too far, basically. But if as long as it's funny, then it's not too far at all. It's awesome, you know?
As writers, do you feel like you have to, you know, what do you do about like Asian Korean stereotypes? You said you're trying to ground this partially in reality, but like on paper, like how do you tread that line of being funny and being completely bonkers? Like,
I mean, everything about North Korea in the movie is real. Like we've made up zero facts about North Korean culture or behavior or the belief system. Like, it's all 100% real. And as far as like the specific jokes, I mean, some of the characters in the movie are more racially sensitive than others, I guess you would say, just like in real life, you know. But overall, like, I'd say it's, you know, we don't stereotype, I mean, the Asian characters, I don't think, at all.
I mean, yeah, and so it's based on, I mean, I guess research or things that you found, but also
we just Googled
it's
it.
Like, yeah, like the
Wikipedia most.
The Americans coming in are, you know, dumb and dumber, so it's
yes.
not
we're not the smartest guys.
A lot of the jokes too come from that, like our ignorance.
Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between Aaron and Dave? Because we just saw a little bit with Dave and we get you. Well, how does Aaron fit in, and how do you guys sort of?
Aaron's like, I'm like his friend and his producer, who is definitely the slightly smarter, more together one of the group. And he kind of looks to me as like his intellectual, I mean, it's very codependent working relationship we have in the movie. Like you know, like money and employment and I like him and the ride of the show, but I wish that we were doing something more serious, and like that was always my intention as a journalist, is kind of be like a real journalist and not just someone who talks about people not wearing panties if they get out of limos, whereas that's all he ever wanted to do and he loves it, and he knows that I make the show better, so it's kind of this like, and he just throws tons of money and perks my way, and it's kind of, but we get along very well. So it's this kind of like unhealthy, codependent relationship. It's like a married couple type relationship, I would say, in the movie. Like, we clearly spend tons of time together, and we clearly love each other, but we clearly are at times incredibly frustrated, you know, him with my probably uptightness and me with the fact that he's just psychotic.
You guys,
can you talk to me a little bit about your relationship with Evan? Because in order for you to,
it's the same.
Just explain it.
Particularly because you have to wear so many different hats. In order for you to wear so many hats, you have to have a trust that, you know, if you take one off, someone else is going to be able to run with it. So.
Yeah. I mean, we work. I think you hear sometimes about directing teams where it's like one guy's the visual guy and the other guy's the guy who talks to actors. Like, we're not like that. Like, there's not really, sometimes because I'm in the scenes, he will see things I don't see, and sometimes because I'm in the scenes, I'll see things he doesn't see, but it's funny, like people, the crew, you know, comes up and asks you questions. Like, the wardrobe guys will present us five options for one of the extras to be wearing in one of the scenes, and sometimes they don't always get us at the same time, so they'll ask us each individually, and it seems like 10 times out of 10 we pick the same one, you know, like,
yeah, the last one was how much blood should be in this gun hit,
yeah,
said four times and he said 12 times.
Yeah, exactly, but it's like we're generally on the same page, and we pretty much have the same skill set, so
I can't act.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to directing.
Or can I?
Yeah, or can he? He's not even Evan Goldberg.
How do you deal with disagreements?
You can usually do both.
Like, that's the thing about movies is, like, and we do it all the time. Like, if it's ever like, I like this line, you like this line, then we'll do both lines. Like, there's almost never a situation where you can't do both things and then let someone else decide later.
That's what's very liberating too about this kind of movie making is where, you know, there's some movies, and it's not to say that one way is better than the other, but there's some movies where
our way
like
is better.
Everything. I mean, it's certainly more liberating, like where everything is kind of planned to the T, and it's like it's a weird kind of honing or something like that. Where this is like explorative and you just try things, like, why not? You know, we're here and everybody knows how to kind of work in that way, so why not just explore, you know, where it can go? So what you guys saw out there is an example of that.
I'm very curious about James, if you've ever gotten a line from Seth or Evan where you're like, no effing way am I saying this.
God, that's the whole thing about him.
No. There's been some jokes that he literally doesn't get at all. Like, some references, excuse me. There was a scene where we kept asking him to say, excuse me, baking powder, from Wayne's World. And he did not get it, like, literally at all. And he just kept, he was like, what is it? Excuse me, baking? He kept I'm saying baking soda.
He should be like, hey, man, baking soda.
But for God bless him, there was not one moment where he was like, stop, I need to understand what this is I'm saying. I literally don't understand what this means. He was just like, okay, excuse me, baking powder. And yeah, it's fucking unbelievable. It's amazing.
Yeah, but so you've never said anything that's just completely beyond NC-17, or you've been like, oh, I'm not, this is too far.
No, I mean,
there's been some crazy jokes, but
yeah, you got to try it. It's like, and
he knows we wouldn't use it if it didn't work, you know?
I mean, it wouldn't work that way with every director, but I know these guys have the best taste and they're, you know, I think the best comedic filmmakers around. So it's like,
best dressed.
You got to just try it and best dressed.
There was a period earlier this year when you were sort of like catfishing the paparazzi. Were you doing that to see how they would react so you can use it for this character?
Wait, say it again?
There was a period we just was doing like crazy shit for the paparazzi to catch you earlier this year.
Were you?
I don't know.
What was I doing? All those shots with your balls hanging up.
Oh, when I was running around naked around Vancouver?
No,
I took those photos. Oh, I wasn't doing crazy stuff. I took those
you
photos.
Took photos of your abs recently on. Didn't you tweet that?
Yeah. I got like 10,000 likes.
They like them. I like
100,000.
I liked it twice.
Can you talk about the homecoming aspect of coming back to your hometown?
Yeah. It's been nice. It's fun. It's cold as fuck. It's literally snowing right now. But
this is a good finish.
It actually like works really well for our purposes. I mean, the movie's set in New York, China, and North Korea. So it really just worked geographically for that. Because we grew up here, we knew there's like a Chinese night market in Richmond where there's like thousands and thousands of these little Chinese food stands and weird little shit like that we filmed for like Beijing, and there's like this weird fish. Like, we kind of wrote it for things that we knew existed here. And, you know, the whole thing takes place in this mountain complex, a lot of it. That's where Kim Jong-un's, like, fortress is. And, again, like, the mountains and the area we were able to film, like, the finale in, like, it just has, like, this scope, and it's huge, and it just looks gigantic, which was very nice. So it wasn't just so we could hang out with our friends and eat good sushi. It was also...
I kept asking, you know, I kept complaining that we weren't in New Orleans.
Exactly. I love New Orleans.
We did the last one there, but yeah, for a lot of the exterior stuff, it wouldn't have worked.
Like, yeah. Any more than one.
Oh, we're in the bay.
Yeah, we're in the bayous of North Korea.
And you guys it started real small and it got so big. Does this have a similar structure where when we start seeing more footage stuff, it'll look like a tiny little movie and then it gets much bigger, or?
It starts a little bit bigger, but I think.
It just, the style in which we filmed it is kind of.
It's totally different.
Different in a way that it's not going to start as a subtle hint. Like, it starts with a level of scope that we kind of maintain.
Yeah, we tried, like, as contained as this is the end was, we tried to make this as filled with scope as it could be. Like, we really tried to use a lot of helicopters and cranes, and we tried to move the camera a lot, and we tried to really develop a visual style that allowed us to improvise a lot, but allowed us at the same time to do things they don't usually do visually in comedies. I mean, we kind of tried to completely abandon how comedies look as much as we possibly could.
It's more like an action comedy, you would describe.
We really actually based it more on kind of like political thrillers, like Ridley Scott movies and like Michael Mann movies. We try to use a lot of long lenses, and you know, we probably play some of the scenes tighter than they generally would in these types of comedies. But to us, like, the fact that it looks kind of serious and has this weight to it makes it funnier, because it really looks like we're stuck in like a serious political thriller, which is funny to us.
Last question.
Because a lot of things get shoved in asses in this movie.
You guys mentioned that when you were making This Is the End, there were some questions about like if you could do this, but like now that This Is the End is such a big success, do you guys have more confidence? Do you have more freedom from the studio? Where's the mindset?
We always had freedom.
Yeah, yeah. Sony, we had a good deal with them. They let us do whatever we want on This Is the End, and they're doing the same thing this time.
I think we have more confidence in some ways, but at the same time, I really feel like we're doing something so different with this movie that not a lot carries over, and it really feels like we're doing something for the first time in a lot of ways, honestly. Like, it's just, again, like, moving the camera and thinking of ways to really, like, and get out there. I mean, the fact that we're in a different location almost every day is a different experience. Like,
and our goals are more specific when it comes to the acting and the narrative and the cinematography.
Yeah, the plot is a lot more complicated. There's a lot more elements. There's scenes that cut between five locations at once as we're, you know, on these, you know,
instead of just Franco's house.
Instead of just us screaming at each other in a house for 6 weeks straight, you know. So, yeah, it's a lot more complicated on our end. So it does, even though I think we have more confidence, it feels... it kind of feels new at the same time.
And I know where James, this, I know that's the last question, but James, where are you heading now? Where's, this is the last day of shooting for the year. So what's like your next project? Person, what are you doing for Christmas, please?
Okay, I have a little project with this writer named David Shields. He was a teacher of mine. His best book is called Reality Hunger, and he has another book called I Think You're Totally Wrong, which is just like a My Dinner with Andre kind of conversation with one of his former students that he turned into a book, and we're gonna go film that right after this, and then with him performing, and I'll see my family in Palo Alto, and then I have to act in this movie one of my other students is directing in Yosemite.
Seth, what are you doing for Christmas?
I gotta go, sorry.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. You guys gonna do any more music videos?